This is KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Everything happens for a reason. Heaven needed another angel. If you've lost a loved one and you're grieving, you've probably heard a well-meaning person say something like that, supposedly comforting. Maybe you just felt uncomfortable. Maybe you felt more isolated. My next guests had similar experiences and decided to do something about it. Gabby Berkner and Rebecca Sofer are co-authors of a book called Modern Loss, Candid Conversations About Grief. Gabby and Rebecca, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Would you mind giving us an experience that drove each of you to write this book?
Sure. This is Rebecca. When I was 30 years old, I was working for the Colbert Report, daily television show, living in New York City, single, dreaming about building up a life of, you know, all the things that one might want in life, maybe a partner and a dog and a kid or two and a mortgage. And my mom was killed very suddenly in a car accident when I was 30 years old. I'm an only child between both my mom and my dad. And so it was incredibly isolating in the biggest nutshell of all to describe it. Mm. 4 years later, my dad died. So by the time I was 34, I was a literal orphan and got a crash course in how uncomfortable we are as a society talking about grief for some reason that I don't understand.
Yes, we are. Gabby, would you mind?
Sure. My story is when I was 24 and I was a newspaper reporter. My beat was obituaries because you can't really make this stuff up. I got the news that my father and stepmother had been murdered in a robbery in their home in Sedona, Arizona. And all of a sudden, again, 24 years old, it was like, Dad was murdered, welcome to adulthood. And most of my friends hadn't lost parents by that age, and let alone known anyone who had been murdered. So like Rebecca said, it's an extraordinarily isolating experience. And even though people want to be there for you, they don't know how, and they can't possibly know how.
So you just both told me terrible things. I did not say I'm sorry for your loss.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Is that a good thing? I don't know.
No.
I mean, of course I'm kind of sorry. I just met you, but we're all sorry for other people's losses.
Look, everyone has their thing in life. Everyone has a lot of things in life that are their burdens. And I frequently say I'm so sorry when I hear about somebody who died. Of course you're sorry, but beyond that, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, right.
It's only, I'm so sorry only does so much. What more meaningful action can you take as a friend, as a coworker, as a daughter or a parent to really help a person that you care about or even remotely like feel like they have a friend who's willing to get into an uncomfortable space with them? And that uncomfortable space is just talking about what loss is really like. And what it's really like is something that is not tied up into a neat bow that lasts 30 days or 365 days.
But how do I know what you want in that grieving time? Yeah, well, let's start there. How am I supposed to know? I'm a coworker or a friend?
Sure. I always say it's like an unfortunate reality of grief is that unfortunately the onus is often on the person who's grieving, and it shouldn't necessarily be that way. But I felt that once I told people what I needed in the aftermath of my loss, I got my needs met. So I always tell people who are going through grief or have just lost someone they love or someone they had a complicated relationship with to tell people what they need in any given moment, because there's not one set phrase or one thing to do that's going to make every person who's bereaved feel comforted in any given moment. There are certain things to say that are better than others, but there's not one set thing to say.
So what would you say? What did you say you wanted?
I mean, it depended on the day. It depended on the hour. It depended on that moment. Like, I always give this example of I once asked my friend Lindsay to come over with a stack of Celebrity Weeklies and time me on the crossword puzzles. But, like, she wouldn't have intuited that that's what I needed in the aftermath of my loss. Like, I somehow, at some point, I guess, just needed to get my mind off things. And that's what I needed.
Okay. That's very
specific and
clear.
Idiosyncratic
but
and weird. Yeah.
Specificity is our friend when it comes to experiences that are so overwhelming and surreal and unknown, unfamiliar as loss. I mean, loss is like the person who's dealing with loss is in an unfamiliar territory, and everybody around them is in an unfamiliar territory. Mm. So as long as you acknowledge that this is just like one big kind of mess that you're in together, and the person who's going through it may not know what they need in any given moment, and you may not know what to do for them. All you can do is ask and tell them that you're there. And if you really know them well, we always say, if you know the person well, you know what they, you know the little things they need. You know that, like, their bathroom is going to be a disaster because they haven't cleaned it in a while.
Right.
Or their kid just needs to have a play date and get out of their hair. Or maybe they just need, like, a double martini, you know, on the rocks at, you know, every hour on the hour for, you know, a normal number of hours before it's too dangerous. It's just, like, not that hard to do that for a person, but it does require one little moment of empathic thinking.
We are talking with the authors of the new book, Modern Loss, Candid Conversations About Grief. We are live tweeting the show right now at KUOW, and we asked listeners, what has helped you in your grief and what has not helped you? So here's one of those answers.
Hi, my name is Lindsay, and I'm calling from Seattle. Actually, Vashon. I lost both my parents, and when my mom passed away, somebody said something very helpful, which was, it'll probably get worse before it gets better. And that just kind of freed me up to not think of it as anything that I had to move through or get over, and just to let it be what it would be. And then the thing that people have said was about both my parents, when they hear that they passed away, they're like, oh, they passed away? What happened? And that's just, I feel like very insensitive. And I think, you know, it's something that if you don't automatically know, then you probably don't need to know, or you need to let it come out in a different way, or you just need to ask in a different way. But that seems to be people's knee-jerk reaction thing to ask. But thank you. Bye.
Okay. So first, if someone tells me they just lost a loved one, I might say, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
I don't know. I don't know that you shouldn't do that, to be honest. I don't necessarily think that's a wrong thing to do. I think that Lindsay probably had somebody say it to her in a tone that might have hit her the wrong way. I don't know what the relationship was. There's endless kind of permutations and combinations to human interactions.
As if I'm being voyeuristic instead of concerned about
exactly.
Lindsay.
Exactly, right.
And it's perfectly acceptable for her to say, you know what, I really don't feel like talking about it. To say, I don't think it's wrong for you to ask, but I don't think it's wrong for her to say, yeah, I'm just not comfortable with this conversation right now.
That's interesting. You have twice put some kind of, I don't know if responsibility is the word, but you're asking of something of the bereaved person.
Yeah.
You said, ask for what you want, and you said, you know, you say, I don't feel like getting into that right now.
In a perfect world, you know, the world would take care of us. They'd put the bereaved on, like, a gentle satin-covered pillow and, like, feed us peeled grapes and let us not have to deal with reality for a while. But, you know, we have a chapter in our book called Collateral Damage. But wait, there's more? That's the first chapter in the book. And it's about all the insults to injury that come along with the loss experience. And one of them is the stark reality that it kind of is on us. It is on us in this world to slowly figure out what our needs are, whether they're on a minute-to-minute basis or on a greater level, and get to a point where we can state those needs, because both Gabby and I found that if you don't draw your lines, other people will be very happy to draw them for you.
Here's another, you know, we seem to have an especially hard time talking about children who've died.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one listener on that subject.
Hi, my name's Katrina. And when my first child was born, he had a pretty significant disability, and it was a difficult transition for our family, and one of the hardest things that people would say to me, and the most difficult and unhelpful, was...
So, by the way, here's someone talking not about a death, but a difficult birth, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
That God has a plan, and that God chose you because you're strong. The one that really hurt the most, I think, was... You remind me how blessed we are, meaning you're cursed and I'm blessed. So I tried really hard to take those comments with grace, because I know that people that care for our family and me, and they were trying to be helpful. So I tried not to get too mad, but every once in a while I just said, that's not helpful. Anyway, thank you.
So should you never pass on what you think the lesson is? Is that a fair advice? You know, God has a plan. You were chosen because you're so strong.
Yeah, I think I think you can't really assume how other people might be feeling about the situation that they find themselves in. And it's okay if it's hard. It's okay if they're struggling with it as opposed to just accepting it and feeling like they were chosen for some reason. And also, I hate when people put it into like stark relief of like, I feel so blessed that I have a child who's healthy, as if like they are blessed and you are cursed. I feel so blessed that I have both of my parents, as if they are blessed and you don't have both of your parents and are cursed. Yes.
I think what they mean is that you've reminded me to be grateful every day.
Right.
That's important.
It's like if you take one step back and really consider how that might affect somebody who has just had a difficult birth or lost a parent or lost a friend, and you're telling them how grateful you are to have a living parent above ground and have a friend above ground. Really? Do we really think that's the thoughtful thing to say in that moment?
I think also so many of these things that feel dismissive or thoughtless are just not said out of malice. They're said because it's really, really hard to know what to say. And I think it's okay to acknowledge, like, this is really awful. And I don't know what to say at this moment, but I want you to know that I'm here. Mm-hmm. Showing up, following through is so much more important than saying the exact right thing in any given moment, because there isn't always an exact right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Modern Loss is the book. Candid Conversations About Grief, Beginner's Welcome. Yeah. It's okay to not know exactly what to do, but they can help. Gabby Berkner and Rebecca Sofer, and you can hear them tonight. You're at the Riveter on Capitol Hill.
That's right.
7 o'clock. You're in conversation with Chanel Reynolds of Get Your S Together, which is an organization that offers advanced care directives for your digital life.
So we try and keep it spicy.
Yes. Let's talk about the stuff that is uncomfortable, but we all know it's better to talk. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
And thank you for tuning into The Record on KUOW, produced by Amina Alsadi, Allison Bruzek, Ajua Jima Brempong, Jason Pagano, social media producer Bree Ripley. Tomorrow, I'll speak with Spokane Congressmember Kathy McMorris Rogers and author Barbara Ehrenreich and actor Alan Cumming. That's all tomorrow, and it starts at noon. I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for listening.